This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire, broadcasting to you from California, the West Coast. And I don't mean to start this off with satirical humor, but there have been many people, a significant number of people, who have prophesied that California was going to separate from the mainland, become some kind of giant island due to some kind of massive undersea earthquake. Now, I'm not here to mock that, and I'm not here to dismiss this. Neither am I going to go by a boat in the immediate future, because I do believe that God speaks to his people prophetically. But I also believe that we need to discern the prophets, discern the prophecies. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody who makes a prophecy like that, it doesn't mean they're totally discredited if it hasn't happened, because perhaps it will happen in the future. And so it's a delicate balance, and part of being a mature and overcoming Christian is allowing the Lord to work in you to such an extent that you're able to walk victoriously in this life. And a lot of that has to do with maintaining the proper biblical balance. So, for example, when it comes to prophecy, we're told in the Bible to discern. In other words, we don't just accept what somebody says, or somebody said they had a vision, or somebody said they had a prophetic dream, whatever. We just don't accept that. That you have to pray about. You have to meditate God's word. You have to hear what other respected men and women of God are saying about those prophecies. And when you do all that, you have to listen. You have to train yourself. This doesn't come easily. But you train yourself to listen to the inner voice of the Holy Spirit in you. And the more you practice the presence of the Lord, if you will, the more you train yourself to discern the difference between the Holy Spirit and some other spirit, or your imagination, or somebody else's imagination, the more you practice that, like any other endeavor in life, when you practice something, you become more adept at it, you become more expert at it, and therefore your mistake level and your error level is going to be substantially reduced. I want to open the program talking about that, because we're going to open doors. The purpose of today's program is to allow the Holy Spirit of God to open doors in your heart and mind, and prayerfully allow the Spirit of God to mature you, to mature me, and to bring us into a higher and more victorious level. But that begins with establishing a biblical foundation in everything that we do. First thing I want to mention right out of the gate is this. Right now, and again, you know, I realize it's the I realize it's the title of my book, and you know, it goes back to the fact that I was sitting in the studio here with stacks of printed paper. It was a rough draft of my book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. So in the studio, I had stacks of 500 pages, 1,000 pages, 300 pages, you know, all stacked all over the studio, inside the studio. Because when I research, I do mega research because I want a document. I'm not settled with maybe that's true. I have to know it's true. And so I dive deep and I dig deep. I do a book and I think about it and I pray about it. So anyway, the rough manuscript for The Greatest Battle was, I forgot what it was. It was something like 1,500 pages, which you know, I would read it, but you lose the amount of people potentially interested in your book when you write a book that long. So I had to aggressively edit the book, but I didn't want to remove from the book any essential truths or information. But, you know, I kept at it, I kept chiseling at it, and I reduced the book to a far more manageable and a far faster read to 374 pages. But it's a fast read. It's not boring and pedantic. So the point is that reducing massive amounts of information so that you don't have to pour through all the massive amounts of information I had to pour through to get the truth on various situations. So what I'm trying to say for many of you, I've done your homework for you, because I realize we live in a very fast moving age. So what the Lord has been showing me and revealing to me for years now, you know, I'm constantly talking to the Lord. I'm meditating on the Lord. When I say meditating on the Lord, I'm not talking about Eastern mystical meditation. I'm constantly thinking about His Word. I'm constantly thinking about God's Word in relationship to things I see, things that are happening in our nation and the world. So I'm constantly in the mode of this interaction. I'm constantly interacting. Or perhaps a better word would to say, I'm constantly walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm constantly interacting. And so are many, many of you. Because you see, the reason you listen to the Paul McGuire Report is that by God's grace, there you can sense the Spirit of God moving. And you can sense the Spirit of God in the content that we deliver, the information that we deliver. So because of those factors and the fact that you can sense the Holy Spirit upon the program, you're attracted to it. People that are not hungry for the truth, people that are not willing to do a deep dive in research or to dig deeper, people in that category are generally not interested in a program like this, like the Paul McGuire Report. Why? It's too much effort to them, and they don't in their human minds, they don't see the value of the content. Now, I'm restraining myself from being, I don't want to come off like I'm putting somebody down, but there are categories of people. There are people that are really hungry for the truth and people who are not. This program tracks people that are hungry for the truth. It's just that simple. So because of that, and because of when I speak at conferences, et cetera, and I get to meet you in person, because of that, or meet you at Paradise Mountain Church. Because of that, I have an idea of how you're going to respond and what kind of person you are. I have a very focused idea about that because you and I are walking by God's grace. Think about this for a moment. This is powerful. You know what? This is powerful. And this is tender at the same time. Powerful and tender at the same time. you and I are walking down the road of life together. This program is part of how you walk down this road of life. I'm walking down the road of life following Jesus and doing what Jesus tells me to do in terms of research and writing. And you're walking down the road following Jesus. So together, you and I are walking down the road following Jesus. And because of that, you're listening to this program. So wherever you are on planet Earth, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report, whether you live in the USA or Europe or South America or Africa or wherever, the Middle East, wherever. You're walking down. The reason you're listening to the program is because you have chosen to walk down the road with Jesus. And here's the thing. We numerically, because we have chosen, you've chosen, I've chosen to walk down the road of life with Jesus, you and I are not necessarily in the numerical majority. But you know, that doesn't mean anything. That means absolutely nothing. Whether or not the majority believes something or not may be important for a variety of reasons. But whether or not the majority of people believe something or not doesn't in any way, shape, or form make what they believe true or not true. In other words, the popularity of the opinion doesn't justify or substantiate the opinion. And when I think about that, I think about the time in human history when everybody thought that the world was flat. Now, if you happen to be somebody who thinks the world is flat, I'm not going to pick on you, but you haven't done your homework. And because you haven't done your homework, you are setting yourself up as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You're setting yourself up because you're holding on to a foolish, non-scientific opinion, which is only going to bring ridicule to you and ridicule to Christianity. Thus, you will not be a faithful steward or a good steward. Because if you had done your homework, even minimally, you couldn't possibly believe that the earth is flat. So this is not for flat earthers, unless you're interested in the truth. This is for people that have a hunger and a desire for truth. So once again, we're walking down the road of life together, walking with Jesus. And we have, and what bonds us together is the fact that you have, and I have, a hunger for the truth. And we're following Jesus, who is the truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. So I think that that is powerful, very powerful. It's powerful that you and I can say that in a world where so many people don't believe in the God who really does exist. And it's tender because this infinite personal living God of the universe isn't just this, you know, ball of all-powerful energy. God is love, and God sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, as a servant, as the Lamb of God, who was slain before the foundation of the world. And that's tender, and that's beautiful, and it's liberating. So I just want to encourage you to continue to walk in that, because Because as we walk in that, see, as we choose to be close to the Lord, as we choose to live with our hearts and minds and souls in proximity to the Lord or intimacy with the Lord, what happens is, as a byproduct, is that the power of the Lord comes upon us. Power of the Lord flows through us and touches other people. And the anointing of the Lord comes upon us. And so we're walking not merely as natural men and natural women. We're walking as men and women upon whom the Lord is pouring out his Holy Spirit in the last days. And the closer we walk with the Lord, the more intense, the more tender, the more miraculous is the release of his power through us. And that causes life to show up in the lives of the people around us. That causes healing to people that are sick. That causes deliverance to people that are bound by various things. And that causes people who are dead in their sins and trespasses to become alive because they put their faith in Jesus Christ and they're regenerated by the Spirit of the Lord and they're born again. They become eternal beings. They will live forever in heaven with Jesus in their brand new glorified bodies. And now think about this, because this is once again so powerful and yet so tender that it deserves spending a few minutes on. You and I are walking down the road of life. One of the ways that we're doing this is that you and I are in communication as well as are many, many others across the world, across the United States, listening to this program, the Paul McGuire Report. People listen to it at all different hours and times and time zones all around the world. Now, the beauty and the wonder to rediscover again is that as you and I are walking down the road of life with Jesus in close proximity, we continue walking down this road of life, but at a certain point, only known to God, our earthly walk in this physical dimension is going to end. You have no idea when it's going to end. I have no idea when it's going to end. But at a certain point, as we walk together, as we walk with Jesus, this earthly life, this physical dimension life that we're living, is going to come to an end. And we don't know when. And when it comes to an end, we will have died materially in this physical dimension. And the moment we die, whether we're awake when we die or we're asleep when we die, beautiful thing is, the tender thing is, once again, the moment we die, we are absent from the body. That means we've left our bodies and we're in the presence of the Lord. And that happens in the snap of your fingers. It happens in a nanosecond. Suddenly, without any expectation, we die. And then we're absent from our body. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So in a nanosecond, we vacate our body, and we are now in a brand new glorified body, standing in the presence of the Lord in heaven, the most glorious place ever made for people to dwell in. And you will be looking, the instant you die, you will be looking into the glorious light of the loving eyes of Jesus Christ in your glorified body. And as you look into the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ, his eyes will be just beaming, bathing you in divine love and acceptance. And he's going to say to you these words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And you will have entered the kingdom of God along with all the others who have entered the kingdom of God. So this walk that we're on, part of this walk is happening right now. It's not an accident that you're listening to me, Paul McGuire, or in whatever nation or state or city or place you're listening to me in, whether you're doing household chores or you're walking or jogging, walking the dog, or doing whatever you're doing. It's not an accident. Please understand this. There's no accidents in the kingdom of heaven. It's not an accident that you are listening to my voice right now. You're listening to my words right now. And thankfully, as you listen to my words and as you listen to my voice, you are being drawn closer to Jesus. How does that happen? Well, it happens because, not because there's anything special about me, certainly not. You're walking closer to Jesus because, despite whatever human imperfections I may have, I'm saved by grace, unmerited favor. You're saved by grace, unmerited favor. And because I'm walking and following Jesus and walking close to Jesus, then people who hear my voice are also choosing to walk close to Jesus and to follow Jesus. And so we're on this path together, and part of the pathway is right now at this second. We're walking on this pathway together. And then, as we faithfully walk on this path together, at some time in the future, only God knows when, this world will disappear in an instant, and like a flash, we will enter the kingdom of heaven, and we will be in the presence of the Lord in our brand new glorified bodies. So this path that we're walking on together here on earth, it continues. God has a purpose in it, but ultimately it's designed to take us into the presence of Jesus Christ in heaven, where we'll live for all eternity in our brand new glorified bodies. I don't know about you, man, but talk about an exciting anticipation. Talking about something to look forward to. Talking about, I mean, this is so exhilarating. This is such a turn on, because it's true. This is beyond anything we could ever hope for and dream for. Now, in a moment, I want to share with you a private, personal story. It's a short one, but it's something that happened to me on Mother's Day, and I think that you will enjoy hearing it. Right now, I want to encourage you to take advantage of all the free resources that we have at paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Let me remind you, in this day of Orwellian censorship, where people are being torn off all kinds of media platforms, etc., if the time should come that you aren't able to watch me or hear me on whatever particular technology you're using, always remember that you can go to paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. And on the very front page, there's a listing of, like, I don't know, 12 or 15 different social media platforms that we're on, alternative platforms. backup platforms. And so if we were to disappear from this platform, go to paulmcguire.us and you can resume listening and watching on our other platforms. It's very important that you do that, and it's very important that you make a copy or however you do it, copy and paste or whatever. Copy all the links that we're on. So that way, with the click of a mouse, you don't have to try to figure out what happened to us. You will be taken directly to all kinds of alternative platforms. I cannot stress to you the importance of you being vigilant in doing that, because there is a war against people who are speaking Christian truth, and there's a war on. A friend of mine that you would know, I was watching his program on the internet, and he had written a big sign that got your attention, saying something to the effect of, "If you don't find us here," and then he put his website, and I'm speaking of L.A. Marzulli, and it was smart that he did that. He's preparing people who follow him so that they can still watch him. Because, look, we have been taken down a number of times. And when they take you down, they don't tell you specifically what you did wrong. So how can you fix it? And secondly, what you did wrong wasn't even remotely wrong in the eyes of God. It's usually you say something that's not politically correct, or you talk about a subject that they don't want you to talk about. And even mentioning the subject that they don't want you to talk about can get you pulled down. Because for the most part, they don't have rooms of people monitoring people, although they do have that. For the most part, they're machine watching. It's a weird word, but that's the word they use. They're machine watching and machine reading your content. And there are so many things, and the list keeps growing bigger and bigger. There's so many things that if you dare to question the official narrative, you are ejected out of the world of the internet. You're totally ejected. This is like Big Brother, and we have arrived. So instead of standing there waiting to be annihilated, we have invested monies and time and energy to line up an entire spectrum of alternative sites where you can hear the Paul McGuire Report or watch our Paul McGuire videos, etc., etc. But you have to write this down and copy it and paste it. You have to go to paulmcguire.us and keep it for when you need it. Trying to find people like me when and if they're gone is going to be next to impossible, because they are rigging, they have been rigging search engines for a long time. I mean, for example, my numbers and the numbers of a lot of people, when I say numbers, the numbers of watchers or people who like or view or who follow, are rigged. And you will often find people who do like a counterfeit of what I do. They're plants. They're embedded there to make you think they're truth tellers and they're conservative and they're Christian, but they're really not. And they have massive numbers.
but they're not real. Now, I've had my numbers frozen for what has it been, 3 or 4 years? And according to their data, I haven't added one person, not one person, to some of my social media channels. How could that possibly be? Well, it can't. It's rigged. And so that's what that's part of the media war we're fighting. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in just a moment. Wherever you are on planet Earth, whether Antarctica, the Arctic, or who knows where, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. Back to this Orwellian Big Brother machine that is waging war in terms of censorship and rigging and trolls, and they use sophisticated computer algorithms, which are computer programming formulas to obscure, to hide, to falsify the numbers of people who are Christians or giving a Christian message or a conservative message, or anybody who dares to question or speak out on any number of important issues. If you dare to question the official narrative or the official story, then you are censored, you are removed, you are obscured from the internet. And so we have been targeted numerous times, taken down. Our numbers are falsified continually. Why? Because I have alternative ways of measuring. And then the falsification is so preposterous that it's obvious that they're rigging the numbers. Now, this wasn't happening all that much 3 years ago. This began to take off in 2016, and it's steadily increasing. And see, I can't even mention the topics by name that trigger being censored. Because if I simply verbalize or name a particular topic, it could flag the robotic, computerized censorship machines to remove me, have me taken down, et cetera, et cetera. And notice that the primary people that are being taken down are people who speak truth about subjects, and Christians who are speaking Christian truth. Think about this. I just did a program the other day, and it's all about salvation and the need for salvation. And then I lead the listener in a prayer to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I recorded that entire program. You should join our YouTube channel. I don't know, it probably won't show up on the numerical count, but you should officially join in anyway. And you could use that, send it out to people you know that need to be saved, because I believe it's a very effective presentation about why a person should be saved, and then I lead them in a prayer of salvation. And I believe many, many people will come to Christ because of it. In fact, I'm going to make sure my webmaster sends that out to all of you that are part of our e-blast list for our intelligence report, which you need to join, by the way. Otherwise, you can't get the special things that we send you. And we'll send you that video of leading people to Christ because people will come to Christ because of it. And the reason I know that is that the spiritual temperature right now in our nation and around the world, people are hungry for Jesus. They're not hungry for Christian religion. They're hungry for Jesus. I just read another poll the other day, and this is in addition to the other polls that I've talked to you about. And a reputable polling company said that more people have left Christian churches now this year. More people have left churches than in any time in the history of the United States. And church attendance is lower than it has ever been during any time in the United States. Now, why do you think that would be? This is a reputable pollster. It's obvious. When Christian churches stop preaching the truth, there's no reason for people, there's no reason to go to church. And it also exposes a fallacy, this whole seeker-friendly dynamic doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is it's reflected in the polls. If it worked, there would be an increase. There would be an increase of people attending church. There would be an increase of the number of people who are getting saved. If the seeker-friendly churches were even remotely delivering upon what they claim to be able to do successfully, we would be seeing an increase in people going to church and an increase in people saved. But that is not what is happening. So that's because they have rejected communicating biblical truth, salvation, heaven and hell, and the basic teachings of the Bible. All right, so on Mother's Day, I was talking to my mother and wishing her a happy Mother's Day. And I talk to my mother off and on about salvation, eternal life, heaven, hell. And most of the people, I'd say a sizable majority of the people that the Lord leads me to talk to or brings my way, have one thing in common. And that is, somewhere along the line, they had a very bad and very negative experience with the Christian church, Christians, Christian ministries. Somewhere along the line in their lives, they still have a very bad taste in their mouth because they had a very negative experience regarding Christianity, the church, Jesus, and Christian people. Now, I prayed for years that the Lord would send me those kinds of people to minister to. One of the primary focal points of this ministry, Paul McGuire Ministries in Paradise Mountain Church, is to reach those kinds of people. And we reach them effectively. Because we're not approaching ministry and evangelism from the same way that most others do. And people that are hungry for God but are not hungry for religion get saved through this ministry. Well, I have talked to my mother many times about the Lord. I've led a number of people in my family to the Lord. And I was praying for her the other day, and the Lord dropped something into my spirit. Now, I already knew this because I remembered it, and I have thought about it numerous times. We've never spoken about it in detail, because when you're ministering to people, the key thing is to listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to Jesus and allow Jesus to guide you and instruct you as you're ministering to somebody or as you're witnessing to somebody. Otherwise, you're just coming, you're just rolling over people like a tank, and that's not going to do any good. Also, I know my mother very well. She's a very bright, intelligent woman, a very perceptive woman. I'm obviously not going to violate her privacy by what I'm sharing, but the Lord put some ideas in my heart and brought them back to the surface regarding what I should say and how I should say it the next time I talk to her. So when I talked to her on Mother's Day, we talked for quite a while, had a lovely conversation. And I said to her, because I listen to the Lord, and then I also listen to people, and I try to speak to people in the language that they speak. I'm not just talking about I'm going to speak to people who speak English in the English language, because that's self-evident. If I'm witnessing to somebody, whether it's my mother or a stranger, I only know one language. It's called English. But I wouldn't, even if I could speak multiple languages, I wouldn't speak in some languages they didn't understand. That would be a completely useless exercise. But you can speak in the emotional language that other people use. You can speak in the idea, intellectual language that other people use. In other words, when you know somebody, or you've studied somebody, or you've listened to somebody, the key thing is to pay attention to what they say, how they say it, and they will reveal all kinds of experiential, intellectual, emotional experiences, ideas that they have regarding God or anything else. Okay, they will give you an enormous amount of information. The key is not to be oblivious or ignore the information they're giving you, because the information they're giving you is the ticket. It's the pathway to their heart. And I don't mean this, and I want to say this very strongly, I don't mean this in any way, shape, or form to be misconstrued as some kind of manipulative evangelistic technique. You know, when I was first saved, they were a great ministry, and they won, you know, literally millions of people to Jesus Christ around the world. But their approach to leading people to Jesus bordered on and many times slipped over into the arena of manipulating people psychologically. So that they would, via manipulation, accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. That, I mean, you don't have to manipulate people to get saved. If you're manipulating people to get saved, you're getting in the way of God. The Holy Spirit is quite capable of convicting people and bringing people to Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit certainly doesn't need your help by manipulating. So I was listening to my mother, and we were talking about love, and she was talking about certain personal things, etc. And I said, "Mom, you know, love." So I picked up on what she was talking about, and I said, "You know, Mom," and I have said this to her repeatedly, a number of times. During a number of conversations, I have said the words to her, like right up front before I share anything about the Lord, I'll say to her, "Mom, forget about what you've seen of Christianity. Forget about the churches you've seen. Forget about, you know, everything you've seen about Christianity." Isn't that sad that I have to do that? And I have to do that often. Because I realize there's a wall up, and the wall is not up regarding Jesus, the wall is up regarding these very negative and painful experiences many, many people have had regarding the Christian religion, Christian ministers, Christian people. They've been abused. They've been treated with a lack of love. They've been manipulated. You know, they've been worked over. And so there's a lot of people that have been burned out by Christians. And so the key is, I can't solve all that. That would take hours. So I just get the person to suspend it for a moment. And so I said to her, you know, the love that we're experiencing in this conversation, Mom, I said, this love is going to go on forever. I said, because God is love. I said, love, the beauty of this conversation, the fact that I love you as my mother and you love me as your son, the beauty of that is intended by God to go on forever. And I've talked about the more specifics of salvation. I've already talked to her about that. I've talked to her about repentance and inviting Christ into your life and becoming born again. So the goal is not for me to beat her over the head by repeating the same thing over and over again and using some kind of psychological pressure. That's not a goal that's going to produce anything. So it was very gentle because I've already laid the groundwork over the years in previous conversations. It was a very intentionally light message about the love of God, that God is love. And then I said, you know, you don't have to answer me now or whatever. I said, just think about that, Mom. Just think about it. Just don't shut the door on it. Consider it as a possibility. Now, what was I saying? Consider it as a possibility that maybe there is a God. This God is love. And the fact that we love one another and our family loves one another, that's not intended by God to end. God intended that to go on forever, for all eternity. And no, I could have had an intellectual discussion with her, but the purpose is not to one-up my mother intellectually. My purpose is to win her to Christ. And so it was with gentleness, but not a cop-out. But with gentleness. And you know, the interesting thing is that when what you say when you're sharing the Lord or your experiences with the Lord, especially with family members and stuff, the amazing thing is that what you share about the Lord, when it's spoken, when you're anointed by the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is directing you what to say and not to say. And by the way, I immediately and abruptly cut off the conversation at the end. And I left it. I wanted it left with just be open to that. Because my goal was to get her to think about the possibility of what if it is true that Jesus is the Son of God? What if it is true that we can have eternal life? That was my goal, is to just keep the door open in her mind, because she was in a reflective mood to begin with. And so I try to follow the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and then there was no hard sell. And then, you know, speak under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The brushing of your words, when they brush against another person, I'm intentionally using the word brushing. It's the gentle brushing, almost physically not noticeable. It's so gentle. But you see, when your words are like a gentle brushing, they carry more power and more force to change a person and open them up to receive Christ than if you had tried to exert a manipulative force, psychological force, intimidation, you know, et cetera, et cetera. A word spoken in season, the Bible says, is far more effective than words just spoken out of season. And so I left it light, and I left it with the fact that she has a good feeling and is comfortable talking to me about this subject, even though she knows that I have a completely different perspective than her. Now, remember that the Lord has called you and me to be fishers of men. So that implies that, you know, like a fisherman, you're supposed to use the right bait, you're supposed to cast out your hook, you're supposed to put your boat in the right place where the fish are. And a fisherman, there's a game that's played between the fisherman and the fish. And there's a skill involved. It's not, the fisherman is not rewarded by catching a lot of fish just because the fisherman exerts himself, burns himself out, and throws a lot of muscle in it. That's not what catches the fish. What catches the fish is the skill that is demonstrated in fishing. So the same thing is true when we're fishers of men. So we need to think in the Holy Spirit. We need to listen to the Lord as we talk to people or before we say something. And then what we say, how long we say, how hard or how soft we press. All of these things need to be considered in light of the Lord's counsel. So sharing the Lord with somebody, witnessing to somebody, is delicate. It's almost like surgery. You're dealing with the deep issues of a person's heart, and you don't really know everything that person is experiencing, has experienced. But if you know the person at all, you can recollect little things that they've said over the years, which give you a kind of file of what their experiences with Christians and Christian institutions have been. And then your job is to help them discover the truth about God, to help them discover the incredible love that God has for them, and to help them discover the difference between the ugly, abusive, and distorted images and interactions a person may have had regarding Christianity. Your job is to make a separation between that and the real Jesus, and real biblical Christianity. And when we do that, you and I do that, what happens is that people will come to Christ through our lives. And when I say come to Christ through our lives, sometimes leading people to Christ can be a 30-year process. So you have to fix your mind and purpose your heart and mind and set yourself up with the expectation that leading people to Jesus Christ is not necessarily a one-hour event. I have found in many cases it can be a lifetime event, or it can last decades. And the key is to be patient and listen to the Lord and don't give up. I'm not saying be pushy, but don't give up. Continue to be faithful and have this, have an absolute trust in the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, and in the power of His Word. And have an absolute confidence that when you share the Word of God to somebody, when you share the truth to somebody, that that truth is supernaturally energized as it goes from you into another person. That truth is supernaturally energized, and it supernaturally has the ability to save somebody. And you see, when you're speaking, you're also simultaneously resting in that incredible power and peace of the Lord to accomplish the saving of the soul. That's a beautiful thing. Okay, you're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Take advantage of our Roku channel. You can watch hundreds of hours of teaching and preaching I've given at Paradise Mountain Church on prophecy and other subjects. You have the Paul McGuire Report radio archives. You have the archives of the video prophetic emergency alerts. You have hundreds of pages of articles with pictures. And then we have our books available to you at book bundle discounts. So this is the Paul McGuire Report. Visit paulmcguire.us, and we'll be back in just a minute. This is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. You know, the goal or purpose of Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mount Church International is to effectively win people to Jesus Christ. It's to reach people who are turned off by Christianity and Jesus. The purpose of this ministry is to make disciples of all nations. It's to teach people how to occupy the land until Christ comes. And the purpose of this ministry is to use Bible prophecy and analyze current events as a means of not only instructing God's people, but bringing people into the kingdom of God as they discover real answers and truth. And that's largely absent from mainstream media and media, because they only speak in a narrow bandwidth. They self-censor. I'm talking about so-called conservative mainstream media. They self-censor, and they speak in a narrow bandwidth, which means They deliberately leave out a whole bunch of important topics and subjects that are incredibly relevant to any situation. They won't touch it because in their mindset, they don't think that that would be cool or sophisticated. And I'm speaking specifically of this. They will allow a smattering of very superficial Christianity. They will allow a smattering of very superficial Christianity. You know, words like God bless you and very short little words. But that is so juvenile that it's like below a kindergarten level. It's literally below a kindergarten level of discussion involving Jesus Christ, Christianity, and biblical truth. So if you're really analyzing what's happening in the media, it is not simply a matter of the liberal media, the leftist socialist media versus the conservative Christian media. I'm talking about mainstream. That's not really what's happening. What's really happening is the media which pretends to be conservative Christian mainstream is really not. The guests that they choose, the content and the topics that they choose, at best reflect an extremely shallow, depth of a biblical worldview. It's never discussed seriously. It's never discussed in depth. Let me give you an example. And so what happens is that people are psychologically conditioned and psychologically programmed. I'm talking about Americans, conservative, so-called Christian Americans, are psychologically conditioned and psychologically programmed to only accept or live in a world of an extremely shallow biblical worldview or Christianity. So let me give you an example. If you really believe the Bible, if you really have a biblical worldview, it is obvious from Genesis to Revelation that we are right now, and it's, again, I'm going to use the title of my book because it expresses what I'm trying to say. We are right now, what I say with the title of my new book, we're in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. Now, I have heard people on conservative, mainstream media say things that sounded similar to my book title, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World. But that's as far as they'll take it. And a partial truth obscures the full truth. Because in my book and in this program and in everything I release, we go into what I call multidimensional truth, multidimensional depth. Because you see, the only way you can win this battle that we're in is not with political slogans. It's not by rah, 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 this candidate versus that candidate. Now, don't get me wrong. Being politically involved intelligently is mandatory. It's absolutely mandatory that people are politically involved. And there's just no excuse if you're not. But it's deeper than that. It's deeper than that. So when the Apostle Paul or Jesus or the other apostles were communicating, did they give these political speeches saying, you know, it was obviously a Roman emperor, you didn't vote him in or out, but they weren't giving political type messages. And so what did the Apostle Paul, for example, say that would be of the most impact to the reality that we're in, the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world? What did the Apostle Paul say? Well, he said in Ephesians 6, you see, and we'll read on the Paul McGuire Report, we'll read Ephesians 6. You know, for 10 years, I was constantly on the biggest shows on the Fox News Network, and CNN, the biggest shows I was on constantly. They would send a limo to the studio that I used to broadcast out of, or they'd send a limo to my house. And I made a decision. I made a life-changing decision that I couldn't straddle two fences. And I went to New York, where I was on Fox News Network a number of times in their New York studios also. And I had a meeting with one of their top people who hired for my own show. And I knew that my website was going to be a problem, because they were aware of it. But you see, if I got my own show, I would be under much more scrutiny. And my website would receive much more examination. And even though my website was conservative and had dealt with conservative politics and had substantive articles that I wrote, research articles that I wrote on all kinds of secular-type topics, there was also the Christian, biblical, Bible verses part of my website. And I knew that what they expected, I mean, nobody ever said this to me, but read between the lines, what they expected was a kind of Christianity on my website and a kind of Christianity coming out of my mouth that was very superficial, like most of the people that appear on Fox, etc. You know, it's like America, Mom, and Apple Pie. That's about the extent of it. And I knew that having biblical in-depth and Bible prophecy articles, etc., on my website would be a negative to them. But I, after praying and seeking the Lord, I decided that I was not going to soft pedal the Bible prophecy, the depth of my Christian beliefs. I mean, I wasn't going to come off like a religious fanatic either, but I wasn't going to soft pedal all that. And I did that intentionally because I knew that I was at the crossroads. And so, see, the power that really changes America isn't political rhetoric and this candidate versus that candidate, although that is essential for everybody to participate. So please don't misunderstand me. But on my radio show, I was free to mix biblical truth and conservative truth. I knew that would not have been the case on Fox. So I would talk about, and like I'm talking to you about, Ephesians 6. And here, you don't have a superficial, trite biblical analysis, which is basically dominates conservative mainstream media, kind of superficial Christianity. In Ephesians 6, here's where you see the real power of God and the real power of God's word and an analysis of our reality and this greatest battle that we're in. Here's where you see the power. So in Ephesians 6, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist in truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So here we're reading the Apostle Paul's in-depth teaching to us about the imperative importance of high-level spiritual warfare. Here we're reading not this baby Christianity that's on mainstream media, conservative media, that they peddle a kind of baby Christianity. Here we see the Apostle Paul talking about being strong in the Lord. That means that strong in the power of the Holy Spirit. You never hear a guest on Fox say, well, we need to be strong in the power of the Holy Spirit. You just don't say that. Well, I wasn't interested. I mean, I was interested in saying it. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You never hear on these mainstream media programs that are supposedly have Christian guests talk about our fight with a real devil, okay, who has strategies and schemes, and that we're supposed to wear the full armor of God. This kind of teaching is at bare minimum, you know, high school teaching on the Word of God, but this is not allowed. This is censored by the so-called conservative outlets. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand the evil day, having done all to stand. So we read an in-depth account of the of the Word of God is itemizing the hierarchy and ranking of different fallen angels and demonic beings. So we learn that we are fighting not just people, but we're fighting principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That means in the invisible realm, spiritual world, which is another dimension. This is heavy duty Bible teaching. This, when you apply the power in this teaching, you can ignite a biblical revival. You can chase the devil, to be blunt, out of our nation, out of our homes, and out of our families. The other stuff is just it's a watered down, you know, nothing. And so it is my goal with this ministry, Paul McGuire Ministries, I made a choice to stand, to take a clear stand for the power and truth of God's word. And I intend to continue in that. Our goal is to expand this ministry to reach more people for Jesus Christ, to win more people to Jesus Christ, to teach people the power of God's word, to teach people at a greater depth the warfare we're in the invisible realm, and how to win that warfare using spiritual weapons. You see, I knew that I would not be allowed to do that on the big cable news networks. And yet God told me that's what I want you to do. And so Paul McGuire Ministries and Paradise Mountain Church, the goal is to grow this ministry to reach a much, much larger audience, but not do it in such a way where we're going to censor and chop off the tough, powerful biblical truths on spiritual warfare, battling devils and demons, the power of the Holy Spirit, miraculous healing, winning people to Christ, leading people to Christ so that they're born again, the Word of God, and teaching all of the Word of God. So I made the choice not to try to curry favor with many of the biggest people in the media business who were very much interested in me. I mean, I wasn't trying to antagonize them, don't get me wrong, but I wasn't going to soft pedal my belief, my biblical worldview. So now we are truly in the greatest battle for the hearts and minds of mankind in the history of the world. We either win this battle, and the only way we can win this battle is by using the weapons, the spiritual weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so we are doing that with this ministry, but we must expand our outreach, our channels, our platforms, our studio facilities, et cetera, et cetera. And we don't charge advertising. We don't charge for what we're doing, the cost to the books, because publishing is expensive. But everything we communicate is free. So we rely on people of God like you, who, when the Lord speaks to you through the power of His Holy Spirit, you are an intercessory prayer warrior. And with intercessory prayer warriors, we win. And I thank each of you that are intercessory prayer warriors. And I thank each of you that are watching our back and making sure that we don't get torn down or censored or attacked on the internet. I see what some of you have done for us, and you've done it wisely, and I appreciate it. That's the body of Christ moving supernaturally. And then finally, we need to raise substantially more finances to win the spiritual war. And so I want to thank each and every one of you faithful to give your donations and contributions. And all I ask, really, is that you check in with the Lord on a regular basis. You're being fed and strengthened by this program. Ask the Lord what you should do in terms of donations and contributions. And ask the Lord, how much should you give, et cetera, et cetera. And then whatever God tells you to do, all I ask is that you obey the Lord. So whatever He tells you to give and how much, give. If He tells you to give a smaller amount but on a regular basis, well, praise God. Do that. And together, we're a team. Together. Not. It's not singular. It's not going to happen if it's just me. Together, we're a team. And together, we can spread revival, the power of God's word. We can save souls together. So I just want to thank you, each and every one of you, for your faithfulness in giving financially, your faithfulness in helping us, defending us from internet attacks. And I want to thank you for being an intercessory prayer warrior. I cannot tell you that each one of these categories are essential. So thank you for that. Make sure you order and get people to read the book, The Greatest Battle for the Hearts and Minds of Mankind in the History of the World, and the other book bundles we have available at paulmcguire.us. So visit paulmcguire.us. God bless you. This is Paul McGuire. And together, I believe we can occupy the land and do what God wants to have done in America and the rest of the world. Actually started to happen. Hitler had already planned to round up the Jews and Christians and put them through the Holocaust and other things. So they had already made their dark plans. Hitler was demon-possessed, according to his own generals, and they mapped out a plan of hell. Now, they were talking about it openly. Hitler wrote openly about his entire plan in his book, Mein Kampf. It wasn't hidden. And so the Christians were given grace by God. They could have stopped it. They had enough advance warning to stop Hitler's evil plans. So did people in communist Russia and communist China. But the Christian church in all these areas, like the American Christian church, chose to turn a blind eye to it and become apathetic. then the Holocaust, the destruction, the murder of hundreds of millions of people, World War II, and all hell broke loose. And the plans of demons were fulfilled. And that was not the will of God. It was never the will of God for these demonic plans to be fulfilled any more than it is the will of God for these demonic plans in our nation to be fulfilled. A philosopher, a secular philosopher, said the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. Now that's your roadmap. I ask you to join me. And joining me means you don't get in part way. You get in the whole way, 100%. You give all, if you're going to say Jesus is your Lord, and Jesus has got to be Lord of all your life, not just a couple of crumbs here and there. Take heart, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Receive power from on high, from the Holy Spirit. Allow the anointing of God to break yokes in your life and in your nation. And then rise up every day privately and call upon God to clothe you with power from on high and fill you with the Spirit of God. And you will be amazed about just how massively God will use you. God bless you, your brother in Christ. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us.